I'd like to start our time together with two readings. The first reading comes from scripture reading. It's from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 through 30. And for the first time in a very long time, I will be reading King James Version. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it.'" And the like it there in the original Greek really is almost, the second is basically the same. The second is like it, namely this: "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. I'd also like to read a brief excerpt from Maria Magdalene's book, Humanism. It says this: "Trying to live according to the golden rule means trying to empathize with other people, including those who may be very different from us. Empathy," she says, "is at the root of kindness, compassion, understanding, and respect, qualities that we all appreciate being shown. And although it isn't possible to know what it really feels like to be a different person or live in different circumstances and have different life experiences, it isn't difficult for most of us to imagine what would cause us suffering and to try to avoid causing suffering to others." That ends our readings for this morning, but Doug, I'm going to ask you, if you would, sir, come and play us a tune.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. If you know me or see me perform outside of this, you know how I get to haul between songs. So I'm going to start off talking about just a little bit. Just want to tell you a little bit about the song. On one level, it's kind of about people who will get, as my mother would say, a little bit too big for the britches. But on a deeper level, it's really about community and finding the people you want to be with, people whose spirit resonates with yours, your tribe, all those things. It plays on the whole cliche of big fish in a small pond. Now, there was already a book and a movie, which I hope you see is a great movie, called Big Fish. So I decided to call this song Small Pond. Some people gotta be a big fish. Some wanna be the king of the sea, ruling forever, wielding Neptune's scepter. It doesn't mean that much to me. Don't need my name known by everyone. It's better to matter than just a few. I'll do the work, try not to act like a jerk. I know what I gotta do. I want to live in a small pond, be in a school with my friends, supporting each other like fishing sisters and brothers. I pray this gentle current never ends. I want to live in a small pond. That big fish wants to boss everyone around, tell them what they need to do. You better do this and you shouldn't do that if you know what's good for you. Thanks, but no thanks. I'll determine my own fate. There's a good chance that that big fish ends up on someone's dinner plate. I wanna swim in a small pond, be in the school with my friends, supporting each other like fishy sisters and brothers. The greatest gentle spirit never ends. I wanna say in a small pond. Chance to shine. I know I had mine. We try to bring out each other's best. Meanwhile, Big Fish is still proclaiming. Subscribe to my channel, buy my book. And if he keeps on thrashing around like that, he's gonna end up on somebody's hook. I wanna swim in a small pond.
Sisters and brothers. Kind of like that.
How did you get some of those in the one
record? I love it. And hey, it's pretty apropos for the message today, too. So,
yes.
Well done, sir. My message today is entitled Far Too Many. The U.S. is uniquely terrible at protecting children from gun violence. That is the title of a lead article on NPR's news site yesterday. The U.S. is uniquely terrible at preventing children, at protecting children from gun violence. Now, I have absolutely no idea, no doubt that some people took offense to that statement. After all, for far too many of our fellow Americans, questioning the nation, even in an effort to improve it, is a betrayal and, at worst, nonsensically sacrilege. And I say nonsensically sacrilege, but then again, for many folks in the United States, the nation has become their religion. A very specific version of the nation has become their religion. Nonetheless, the U.S. is uniquely terrible at protecting children from gun violence. The article then goes on to say that in the U.S., where civilians own nearly 400 million firearms, children are more likely to die from gun violence than any other high-income country. And folks, that 400 million is more guns than people. Not only that, firearms are now the leading cause of death to children in the U.S. That just happened this year. Let me share with you just a couple of other pieces of data from that article. When the U.S. is looked at alongside of 29 other populous high-income countries, it accounts for almost 97% of gun deaths to children. Let me say that again. 97% of gun deaths of children in 30 well-off nations happen right here on U.S. soil. Another piece of data from the article, the U.S. ranks second in the world for the total number of firearm deaths. Just behind us here. What's worse is that we know some of the things that will reverse this trend, but certain groups in Congress go far out of the way to prevent them from happening. For instance, President Bill Clinton banned assault weapons in 1994, and mass shootings in the U.S. dropped by 43%. Part of Congress, I would say probably particularly those who receive funding from the NRA, let the ban expire in 2004. Want to guess what happened to mass shooting deaths? Right, they went up. As a matter of fact, they went up 239%. Far too many of the people who play a role in letting this nation continue down this path of gun-worshipping madness publicly claim to be Christian. And they even try to claim that we are meant to be a Christian nation. But here's the thing. Their actions and our actions as a nation look nothing like those of the man who said, love God and love your neighbor, because basically those are the same things. It would seem that many of our leaders, and because of them we as a nation, have fallen far from the call to build a better, more loving society. Now, I grew up just down the road a bit in Ashburn, North Carolina. My family and I, we attended Greystone Baptist Church, a Southern Baptist church, during my childhood. My loving parents and that church instilled in me some very strong moral and spiritual perspectives. Many of those perspectives I still hold on tightly more than 50 years later. Perspectives like love of neighbor and the golden rule. I watched my parents respond to folks in need in whatever way that they could, even though we weren't exactly living high on the hog ourselves. I also remember learning in Sunday school about the importance of building an inclusive community, contributing to the betterment of everyone, caring for everyone. Things that Jesus taught about. The reality is, though, that many Americans grew up in Sunday school rooms that taught those same things. Consider that. And considering that about 65% of Americans identify as Christian, you would think that we'd be seeing an ever-increasing amount of people striving to follow the teachings of Jesus, striving to love one another in the same way they love themselves and love their God, striving to put others' rights to life above their personal right to owning the kind of gun they want. However, we seem to be doing the opposite. We're becoming less about being an inclusive community and more about tribes that are tightly defined by their similarities. We are becoming less about contributing to the betterment of everyone and more about, I got mine. We're becoming less about caring for all and more about fearing all of those who aren't like us. Less about loving our neighbor and more about loving our guns and our money and our political party. And even loving the imbecilic idea that our race is the superior, even as our actions prove otherwise. It exposes what Christian nationalists truly worship, because it 100% is not the founding ideas of this nation, nor is it the ideals of the founder of Christianity. It's far from the founding fathers' aspirations for this nation as they penned the words, all, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all are created equal. It's far from the declaration on the Statue of Liberty, which says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. It's far from the teachings of Jesus, who said, in the name of God, inasmuch as you did it unto the least of these, so too you did it unto me. 19 fourth graders, two adults were gunned down, cold blood, in Uvalde last week. Gunned down in a nation and even in a state where far too many leaders claim to be Christian and far too many claim we are meant to be a Christian nation, and yet far too many of them are not willing to do the things we already know will limit gun deaths in the United States. You see, far too many of our fellow citizens die because of guns every year. More than 1,600 kids die every year in the U.S. because of guns. That's far too many. This year alone, we've had 27 school shootings. That's far too many. We've had way over 200 mass shootings in the U.S. this year. That's more than one a day. Far too many. And while we don't have the complete numbers for 2021 yet, in 2020, 45,222 people died in gun-related deaths in the U.S. How many is that? Far too many. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like it, like as in basically the same, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. When asked what the greatest rule that we should follow is, Jesus gave a two-part answer. One, love God, and two, love others, which is pretty much the same thing. And the reality, folks, is this is not an idea that is unique to Christianity. Jesus most likely got it from Judaism. Leviticus says, love your neighbor as yourself. I am God. The Quran tells us to serve Allah and to do good to others, including neighbors who are near and neighbors who are strangers. In Hindu, we learn that because you love yourself, you are bound to love your neighbor, who is ultimately oneself. Zoroastrianism teaches that the nature of a person is only good when what it does is good for others. Taoism says to regard your neighbor's gain and loss as your own. Buddhism instructs us to not inflict on others that which is displeasing to you. Wiccan teachings say to do what you will as long as it harms no one. And in humanism, John Locke said, to love our neighbors as ourselves is such a truth for regulating human society that by that alone, one might determine all the cases in social morality. Clearly, whatever path that you are on, it is highly likely that one of the main precepts of it has to do with love of neighbor to some degree. Unless, of course, you worship guns, or money, or power, or worship a nation that worships those things. And let us not fool ourselves. In the U.S., the love of those things are tightly connected. And by their nature, in worshiping them, we must accumulate more of them than other people, which doesn't simply exclude valuing other people, but it actually requires you not to. I ask you, how have we, the majority, who want to follow the concept of loving neighbor, and who want common sense gun control law, and yes, those two should always go hand in hand, how have we allowed far too many years to pass with so little accomplished. I mean, the Columbine High School massacre happened over 2 decades ago. 2 decades ago. And since then, there have been another 371 that followed it. Again, far too many. And we as a nation have done far too little to change it. There have been far too many leaders buddying up with the NRA. There have been far too many of our citizens dying from gun-related causes. Far too many children dying from the same. Far too many tears have been needlessly shed from far too many years of doing far too little. If we take seriously our call to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, it is far past time to act. We must protest in the streets. We must vote for candidates that support common sense gun control laws. Over and over again, we must demand our elected officials do the things that we already know will make a difference. Things like banning assault rifles, requiring background checks, training, licensing, and gun insurance, reducing easy access to dangerous weapons, requiring waiting periods, campaign finance reform, and holding manufacturers responsible for irresponsible marketing and sales. We also need to do more to reduce situations that can end up with folks deciding that a gun is their best option. That includes a reduction in poverty and food insecurity. Politicians that unite us rather than divide us. Access to affordable or free health care for all people. Requiring police to go through effective and frequent de-escalation and anti-racism training. Supporting healthier ideas of masculinity and a stronger emphasis on trauma care in our health system. Let us work more actively and lovingly for our neighbors. There are far too many of them dying unnecessarily because of guns and because of our nation's lack of will to do something about it. Let us live more honestly into the spiritual and humanistic call to take care of our neighbors, let's make it a primary mandate in our lives, because far too many hearts have been shattered as a loved one's life has ended with a bullet. Let us change our nation so headlines will no longer read, "The U.S. is uniquely terrible at protecting children from gun violence." We have lost far too many lives. Far too many. Far too many. Let us do the work that is required to change all of that so that one day we do not have to cry out, "Far too many." Because that's the work that love and love of neighbor would do. Amen. Doug, I'll ask you if you would play us another song.
Thank you, sir.
This song, I've probably done this one here before, but it's been a couple years. Kind of goes into Mark's message in that this is what it's supposed to be like. It's a song of place. It's called Guilford Green. Once I felt drawn to the highway, the young me was driven to run. Now the older me knows where my heart lies. That's staying right here at home. You know I love the motion waters And I love the mountains serene. But let me be here in my homeland, the land that I call Guilford Green. We'll gather on some neighbor's front porch, in the tavern or down on the farm. We all get along, and there's always a song as we hold our children tight in our arms. You know, I love the blue ocean waters, and I love the mountains serene. Please let me here in my homeland, the land that I call Guilford Green. My time of wandering is over. I've withdrawn from the rat race. I raised my son here, and I know time is near when his children will learn of this place. And they'll love the blue ocean waters, and they'll love the mountains serene. And they'll know that I love my homeland, the land that I call Guilford Green. Spread my ash in the blue ocean waters, and the wind of the mountains serene. But please lay me here in my homeland, the land that I call Guilford Green. The land that I call Guilford Green.
Thank you.
Thank you again for that, Doug. It's absolutely beautiful. We appreciate you being here and sharing your gifts and talents with us. We enter into a time of our service that's more inward. I offer this to you as a prayer or as a meditation or opportunity to grab hold of the words that you need right now in your life. Let's bow our heads together. As we attempt to follow the teachings of Jesus and other great spiritual teachers, which encourage us to love all people, we recognize that our lives are not always as welcoming as they should be. We do wish to love everyone, and we do try to love everyone, but it's just a whole lot easier to love some people compared to others. We admit that the people that tend to be easier to love also tend to be people who look a whole lot like us. May we open our hearts and minds that we might see a reflection of love in all people. And in that, may we see that all people look a whole lot like us. Let us be forever more open to that kind of inclusivity. Let us learn to love with hearts wide open. Let us be inspired to live lives that include everyone equally. Let us continue to grow to be a people who exclude no one for no reason. Not for the color of their skin, their sex or sexuality, the amount of money in their bank accounts, the job they hold, the religion they follow, or the country in which they were born. And when we don't, may we recognize it, correct it, and continue to learn to love with hearts wide open. Amen. I'll conclude today with this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may your words and actions share that love and happiness with all you meet. Go now in love and go in peace.